bread that man has to give. We have tasted of the pleasures that is of this world. And Lord, our testimony today is that that which you give is the best.
Mm.
Oh,
yes, hallelujah.
Oh,
there is nothing that can satisfy apart from you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh,
and Lord, we say, when our heart is overwhelmed, we desire to come to this rock.
Amen.
Lord, ask that you might feed us, like us, fresh living waters.
Amen.
To come to our soul.
Amen.
I will say to you, wherever we are, by the wickedness and the iniquity that we see around, more especially that of that which we see within our very hearts. So,
yes.
Overwhelmed by the writing, by this law, the law of carnality, the rule of the wicked. I will say, Lord, we are overwhelmed. And we cry out to you, O Lord, from the ends of the earth, from the very depths to which our soul has fallen, to which it is in despair and even in discouragement.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we say, we cry unto you, O God.
No,
like Jonah cried. Ask, O God, we might sprinkle clean water upon us.
Amen.
Might see you fall, float, you release showers upon the parched dry ground.
Amen.
We say, Lord, let there be living water. Satisfy
Amen.
Our soul.
Yes,
for only you can satisfy.
Hallelujah.
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 You are the double breasted one.
Yes. Amen.
You are the El Shaddai.
Hallelujah.
The one that's able to minister to every soul. We say, Lord, we cannot even minister to ourselves. We do not want to minister the darkness that's in us to one another.
Yes.
The Lord will ask, oh God, that your spirit will come, oh God.
Amen.
And that there'll be clean water.
Amen.
There'll be fresh bread. There'll be sweet wine.
Amen.
Even the very best of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
You will give of yourself, of God, to us. We want you, God. Fill our hearts, O God. And fill our cup, O God. Until it overflows.
Amen.
Blessed be your name. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Go on,
I was talking to 2 Corinthians 5:17. But I wanted to read it from Amplified. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation.
Amen.
The old, previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. I was just, when we were singing this song, I was listening to scripture that dropped in my heart, and it was as if, like, God was asking me, like, why do we so often forget who we are supposed to be? So, that was the question. So,
if anyone has something on. As we are coming to fellowship, as we just got on the Salon Road, I heard a word. You know, so I didn't know what it was. I was just meditating on it as we were coming. And I started talking to my wife about it. You know, so I didn't know it was for this. So as I came, as we started praying, you know, I was just praying, and you know, I had a quickening that I think it's the word that the Lord is speaking to us this morning. I don't know if someone can read for us. Ezekiel 1. Ezekiel chapter 1. The whole. Who's reading?
From New King James Version.
Ezekiel 1. Ezekiel 1, yeah.
From the beginning.
Yes, from the beginning.
Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, and I was among the captives by the river of Shedda. But the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. Can I continue?
Go on, yeah.
In the 5th day of the month, which was 5th year of King Jehoiakim captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Sheba. And the hand of the Lord was set upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a barrel enfolding itself. And the brightness was about it, and out of which that of the color of amber, out of the midst of darkness. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of all living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of the calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and their foreheads and their faces and their wings too. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went everyone straight forward. Mm-hmm. As for the likeness of their faces, the four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and therefore had the face of an ox and the left side on the left side. They therefore also had the face of an eagle. Those were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of everyone were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went everyone straight forward, whither the Spirit was to go. They went, and they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was a burning coals of fire, unlike the appearance of lambs. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright. And out of the fire went forth lightning. And living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four pieces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a berry, and therefore had one likeness. And their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of the wood. When they went upon their four sight, and they saw not when they went. As of their wings, they were so high that they were dressed, and their wings were full of eyes round about them. And when the living creatures went, the wings went by them, and when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wings were lifted up. You know, whatever the spirit has to go, they went. Over was their spirit to go, and the wings were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wings. When those went this way, and when those stood this stood, and when those were lifted up from the earth, the wings were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creatures in the earth. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creatures was as the color of the terrible crystal, as strike forth over their heads above. And under the firmament was their wound straight, the ones one the other, everyone had straight, which covered on this side, and everyone had to wish covered on that side their bodies. Now when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, and the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, and the noise of our feet. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads. When they stood and had let down their wings, and above the firmament that was over their head was the likeness of a throne, and the appearance of a fire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about the throne, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw as it were the appearance of fire and his heart brightness round the world, as the appearance of the board that is in the cloud and the day of prayer. So was the appearance of the brightness round the world. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard the voice of one who
speaks. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The body I'm having is what I call the crucified soul. What you will call the crucified life. That was the picture I saw, and even when we were here, you know, that picture was something that was coming on my vision. The other scripture. We'll come to this, but let's read 1 Corinthians 2 to get the context. 1 Corinthians 2. It's almost like the New Testament counterpart of Ezekiel chapter 1.
1 Corinthians 2.
Yeah. It says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Because the tendency is that when you begin to talk about the soul, and you talk about wisdom, there are different types of wisdom. And the tendency may be to apply it in that setting. You know, so Paul was saying, when I come, I'm not coming with the excellency of speech, you know, or of the wisdom. You know, he explains that later. He says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know, So that was the gospel that Paul brought, the gospel of a crucified life. And he says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And then he continues with the thought. He says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You know, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that are coming to us, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our God. So unto our glory. So he tells us there is man's wisdom.
Yes.
There is the wisdom of the world.
Mm.
And then he says there is the excellency of wisdom. You know, when you go to school, you get man's wisdom. And it's dreaded. Primary school, secondary school, university. After university, they give you different grades also of man's wisdom. And man's wisdom is really, as we say, it comes to nothing. It's really, it doesn't come to anything. Man's wisdom, everything you see around you today in the world is man's wisdom. United Nations, European Union, and even the Organization of Nations, England, Britain, United Kingdom, Rome, Greece, we've seen man's wisdom go through the centuries and it hasn't done anything. Instead, it has gone down and down and down. We have courts of law, it hasn't changed man. We have different institutions to make sure that people live well, it hasn't done that. And you know, so God is judging man's wisdom, is showing that itself is not going to bring forth life, you know. But so Paul is saying that in the ministry, that he doesn't come with man's wisdom, but comes with the wisdom of God, even the hidden wisdom. Now the thing is, who is this man that we're talking about? You know, for whom this ministry is going to be brought to, and that was why we looked at Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1 is an insight into who man is. That is from God's perspective, from the wisdom of God, you know, of who we are, of who you are. And you know, God showed him. He had a series of these dreams, you know, and visions, you know, which was God's wisdom is God's own way, God's own perspective, you know, of issues. So God began to open it up to Ezekiel, and Ezekiel was in captivity. He was not the son of the king. He was didn't live in king's palaces. He didn't have his bread assured. He didn't have all his problems solved. He didn't have his feet lined with gold. If anything, he was at the end of the earth. He was in captivity, taken out of his environment. He didn't have freedom. He couldn't do what he wanted to do. He couldn't do his thing. His life was not going the way he would have wanted it to go. And in the midst of that captivity, God comes to him and begins to show him the visions of God. You know, so that's God's wisdom. You know, man's wisdom is that you have the American dream, or I don't know if you have the English dream. You know, the way everything is going very well, the way you plan it, and you know, it's all orderly and ordered. But in the wisdom of God, he turns it all upside down, and in the midst of captivity, the heavens begin to open up, to him. And he had a series of these visions, a series of these dreams. This one is foundational. God begins to tell him, you know, the nature of man, who man is, the nature of the temple. At this date, we are still struggling to understand Ezekiel, particularly his temple. It's still not out of the jury. We're still asking God, what is this, what is that? So that's the depth of and how far reaching his vision was of God. So, you know, God began to show him about the soul. If you go to Ezekiel chapter 8, he also begins to tell him, show him another aspect of the soul, but from the perspective of the temple. He took him to the temple and began to show him the different aspects of the temple and what was going on there. You know, and God began to show him what he was doing in the sense that God was marking. There is a selection process going on. He showed him the man with the ink horn. The ink horn is the ministry, you know, that goes forth to mark and to put a seal in the heart of people. And if you can see in the eyes of God, if you can look through in the horizon, you can see God marking. Or God, Bible says that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro, looking at the heart of men.
Oh yeah.
And he's marking, you know. And so he's bringing the ministry that is marking and writing, you know, on the heart of men. And then he's looking for them whose hearts are perfect to him. You know, like I said, men take 3 months, 6 months, 1 year to build a house. So God built his own house in centuries, in millenniums. That's how it takes, how long it takes him to build. Because one day with God is like 1,000, and 1,000 is like one day. So, you know, so God is building, he's marking his house, he's walking, you know, in men, and he's looking down. You know, and when he looks down, he feels four living creatures. That's what he feels. You know, and he, you know, is, you know, so when God looks down, he sees, he says, like, the appearance of the living creature was like the appearance of fire, lamps of fire burning. Can you believe that you are like a lamp of fire? You know, can you believe that, when God looks at you, he's looking at either light or darkness. He said that the living creatures, they appeared and went like a flash of lightning. So in the realms of the spirit, that's how it is. And the people with the computer, they even begin to find out that that's the thing they know, but really nothing new, you know, in the sense of the frequencies that they are finding out that exist. You know, so they talk about the Dropbox, cloud, the computer, all those things. Those are not new. Ezekiel saw it millions of, you know, thousands of years ahead of time. You know, that man operates at the man is light. Man has the nature of light. And so God is speaking in that level, and when he comes to us, sometimes he will take us up to the mountain and begin to show us, you know. So Ezekiel was taken up and God began to show him, and I believe that today God is showing us into the depths of man, of who you are, you know, that God sees. You see, out of the whirlwind he saw something, appearance of fire and a flash of lightning, and out of it came forth the nature of a man, and it came forth in four dimensions. And he says the nature of this, of the soul, is like a wheel in the midst of the wheel. And in the wheel that is in the midst of the wheel, he has the spirit of a living creature. Yeah. So God is raising our minds. God is, it says that when the spirit of a living creature lifted up from the earth, the living creatures also lifted up from the earth. I want you to know that man is rising. You know, so I don't know what you're hearing, but I'm hearing that man, the time for the resurrection, for the restoration, for the coming forth of that man has come. You know, so the devil will tell you, man is what you read on television or read in papers. You think that's not the man God is creating. You know, like he was telling us, there are only two men. You know, the history of the old man is going, and the history and the genealogy and the nativity of the new man is about to be told.
Amen.
He says, who shall declare his generation?
Oh yes,
you understand. So the generation of the old Adam is fading, and it will soon be forgotten. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have a new Adam that's rising from the earth. Mm-hmm. And it is a man of the spirit, ruled and controlled by the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's part of what we want to talk about, the crucified life. You know, the crucified soul, and if you like, the crucified mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it goes down and down and down. You know, so it there's a vision in the heart of God, and when he sees me, he sees four living creatures. He sees a wheel. At one point, he says the wheel is full of eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those eyes could be closed or open. It so happens that in his design, he has allowed the eyes to be closed, because when they open, they will never close again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's nothing that is there now that is going to come back. So when he says Jesus in dying, he will never die again.
Amen.
So he has made an eternal salvation for sin and darkness. It is settled. You know, so what God is creating is forever. You know, so the change he's bringing is forever. He says, and he will not leave our soul in hell. You know, so the nature of the soul and the darkness that we see, that you feel within yourself, if you can see in the eyes of God, you know it's something that's fading. So it says Alpha and Omega.
Oh.
You know, Revelation 17 says the beast that was, that is, and is going to perdition. You understand?
Oh.
You know, so the beast was before it had a blow. And the wound was healed, and then it's going to perdition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so whatever your man is doing, whatever you see within you, you must have the eye of faith.
Amen.
In dealing with yourself.
Yeah, I have also got about.
You know, so that you don't make a wrong confession with your heart.
Mm-hmm.
To say to yourself, God, I can't make it. If you say that, that means you are past an evil verdict. It's like he says, we are grasshoppers, we can't make it.
Mm.
Because God has shown that, you know, that he is a God of giant killers.
Yes.
You understand? So, yes, the beast was and is, but it's going to perdition.
Amen.
Yeah. So when you look at yourself and you see the beast rising up, you see look, these living creatures, one was like a lion. Can you imagine you have a lion within you? You see, another one was like an eagle. The other one was like an ox, isn't it? And then the other one was had the face of a man. Okay. So, and each one of them has its own depth and relationships. Because you see that in all this, that there is a nature that is going to go to perdition, and another nature that is going to come and be established.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So the soul can rise, we can see, the living creatures lifted up. You know, and that was by the operation of the spirit. You know, so the way it works, the design that God made, is that the soul is the wheel. The wheel speaks of an operation, a mechanism, a creation of God that works. You know, that was the as a wheel. You know, it needs oil, and that oil is the spirit, if you understand.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one, any engineer that makes anything, he must think of the energy that is going to run it. You know, so the soul is the wheel. Okay, it must have an energy, and that energy, that quickening, is the Spirit. That's it. So without the Spirit, it's not going to work. You know, it's going to knock in gym. You know, and that's what we see, that, you know, the in the mechanics of man, it has knocked engine. Because there's no spirit. It's not going to work. It's all grinding, heat, energy, noise, and so it's not working. You know, so if you want it to work, then it has to be oil that works. So that's why God put it, says, in the midst of the wheel, we have another smaller wheel. Alright? And in the midst of that smaller wheel, you have the Spirit of God. So it's not a wheel in the midst of the wheel. And they talk about the Spirit of the living creature. Amen. It's in the wheel. You know. So the Spirit of God and your spirit is in the midst of your soul. Amen.
Amen.
So God is right in it. So you know, so it's not, you know, it's, we have a high priest that's not in the heavens, it's on earth. You understand? So and the high priest has come and walked where you were, where you walked before, you know, and tempted in all points, yet without sin. And he's touched with the feeling of infirmity. So if you come in this morning and you're feeling low, someone has been there. He knows what it is. You understand? You know, so that's why the walk is total and it is perfect. And we were not coming down this road again.
Amen.
Amen. So God knows. It's like I like that song. Say God is working His past purposes out as the year succeeds year to year. He says, surely nearer and nearer comes the day. You know, a time that shall surely be when the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Amen.
Amen.
So yet nearer and nearer draws the time. The time that shall surely be when the earth, you can even put in your earth. Amen.
Amen.
Shall truly and surely be covered with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Amen. You know, so it's prophetic.
Yes.
You know, so prophecy means you acknowledge the present, but you lay hold on the future.
Okay.
Amen. That is the prophetic thing. So people try to, they say no. Yes, I have a headache. I won't say I don't have a headache. I have a headache, but I have an antidote for the headache.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So that is the prophetic spirit. So we are looking at the mirror. We are looking, and once in a while God opens the curtain and you can see in, and what we see is beautiful. You know, it's a creation of God, that God has designed this house for His own dwelling, for His own glory, for His own purpose. You know, so in the workings of God, the design is that God will dwell within the heart, you know, and he does that by His Spirit, because there is a Spirit in man. And Bible says that the inspiration of God giveth the soul understanding. You understand?
Yeah.
So God comes into the Spirit, and from the Spirit He has access to the soul. So He says the Spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Alright, and you can see this Spirit is like lamps of fire. Alright, just that the lamp is quenched, it's put out, that it's not burning. So all that the lamp needs is oil and a spark of fire. And your soul is on fire for God. Amen. You know, so the way God made you is that He created you with the ability to be on fire for Him. God created your mind with the ability that you can be energized, you can be quickened, you know. God created the emotions and the desire and so on with the ability to be turned on for God. It so happens that man comes into the world switched out. That is okay. Because He is going to switch it on.
Amen.
Amen. You know, so we're looking at this Ezekiel, story of Ezekiel. It's so overwhelming. know. So we and it says these living creatures, they have a firmament over them, and they have four wings. Do you understand? And when we go somewhere else, we see this same living creature with six wings. Yeah, so that means there's a transformation. There's a change in their nature and in their personality. And that is the whole reason for life, because the things you go through and I go through are meant to bring about that transformation and to give us the ability to rise, you know, from the earth. Now, so that was just to go through the basics, you know, which we are familiar with, the four different dimensions of man, of the natures of the soul, because that is what has to be dealt with. And Paul says that when I come to you, I'm not coming with man's wisdom. Now, man's wisdom means you're coming with a letter. Now, the letter is always to deal with emotions. The emotions need, they need ministry, they need light. You understand? The mind needs light. The desire needs, every part of you needs a boost of life from God. You know? So Paul says, man's wisdom is going to fail and has always failed. So when I come to you, I'm going to come by the demonstration of the Spirit.
Amen.
It has to be by the Spirit. You know? So Paul said that when I come to you, I'm not coming by, it's like I come by doctrine, or by I come by knowledge, or by revelation. You understand? Because the letter killed it. Tell me, what will letter do for the emotion? It's not going to do anything. It can't excite you. You understand? What will the letter do for your desire? It's not going to do anything. You know. So it has to be the Spirit. And so we must be a people of the Spirit. So the letter of the word, you know, it says the letter profited nothing. The flesh profited nothing. But the Spirit bringeth life. You know. And the Spirit is that which brings an equipment and an excitement to us. You know, in the things. You know, so we see that different individuals have different manifestations. Some of us have stronger minds. Others have a stronger will. Others have a stronger emotion. Others have a stronger desire. So as you, whoever you meet, it has a different mix. So it's much like genetics, you know. If they have a trait for tallness, the other one has a trait for so when the husband and wife meet together, they mix it. So you have a different manifestation. So that's what you find all over the world. So you know, so you see the souls, you know, in the mixing of, you've had different natures, different combinations that brings forth a characterization of who you are. You understand? And God's purpose is to walk through that individual, that special fabrication he has made. You understand? So God is not going to destroy it, but he's going to change the nature. Amen. So, and that nature will now begin to bring forth the glory of God, because the light of God is going to come into it. And that is the whole story of, you know, we'll talk about the tabernacle today, you know, that is the light of God coming into your soul and walking through your soul. And he says, if you allow that light to walk, what it's going to do is that as that light begins to walk in you, you move from a place called outer court to another dimension called holy place, and then move to another one called holy and holy. All those are English language, but what he is describing, your experience with the light of God.
Amen.
Amen. Say amen.
Yeah.
You know? So it's describing my experience with the light of God. You know, so when you look at the tabernacle, you see different manifestations of light. You know, the first one that we meet, what do we call it? We call it the golden, the brazen altar. Okay, an altar of brass. All right, but in actual fact, it is the light of God that comes. Because if you think about it, what is it that happens at that altar of brass? What happens? They bring the animal, you know. The animal is your soul. But in the Old Testament, because the reality has not yet come, so they had to bring a substitute. And that substitute was a lamb, or bird, or goat, or cow, depending on how rich the man was. So God meets you at your level, okay? And they cut it. But you see, if they cut it, what happens after they cut it? Do they bring matches and burn it? What happens after they cut the sacrifice? Even in the one that Abraham made, what happened to it? Exactly. So the whole thing is fire. So the fire of God came and consumed the sacrifice. You see, and that was the problem of who was that man?
The two brothers.
What was his name? Yes. They went home and they went and got fire. I said, no, there's fire in our father. They brought it and he said it was strange fire. Okay, to come and lighten the sacrifice. And God said, no, this is strange fire, I'm not going to take it. You know? So if you think about it, the fire of God fell, and that was the beginning of the offering. So for you, for you to say you're born again means there's a fire that comes into your heart to take that sacrifice you're bringing off your heart, of your emotion and desire. That's what you're offering to God, you know. And that was why when Jesus came to them, he said, look, I am coming with a new dispensation. They were showing him the temple, saying, no, if you don't understand, it's not about temple. That destroy this temple, I'm bringing a new one. And the Bible says that he was speaking of the temple of his body. And many of us still have that challenge, because when we come to the things of God, we are still thinking about the old order of church and fellowship and ministry and building and Anglican and catechism and all those things. Those are forms that, in fact, God doesn't see them, because even with the old, when it came, it was just temporary. It was, you see, he brought in the law as a schoolmaster for tutoring until the reality will come. And brethren, we have come to the reality.
Mm-hmm.
And the offering we are speaking about is the offering of you. You know, and it has always been that way. You know, in the time of Abraham, before Abraham, the offering that God has always dealt with has been the offering of man. Okay? And the fire that comes to deal with the nature of the soul. Amen.
Amen.
What's happening? I feel the spirit that, is it that you're not following, or you're sleeping, or is it too high? What is it?
You're falling.
Very good. Okay, I want to hear your voice if you are falling. Very good. Amen. Okay, good. So, as I'm talking to you, I'm feeling a sacrifice. I'm feeling, you know, when they cut the thing, that's what I'm seeing. You know, if you ever seen them cut the sacrifice, an offering, you know, an animal up, you go to, I'm sure the women cook, so you know how it is. That's the offering. So, it is the soul. So, the beginning part of that experience is when the fire of God comes into your heart. So you say you are born again, but what really happened was that the fire of God came. And when that fire comes, you come to consume the offering and consume the sacrifice. You know? And the Bible says that that's why it's always good to go back to that experience. Amen. So whenever the priest wants to lighten the land, he has to go back. You know, does someone understand that? Or take me back. I don't know how they cross.
Yes.
They take me back
to
the place where.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at Abraham, when he goes, he will go back to Bethel. Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. So we need to go back. And where are we going to? We are going to the fire. We are going to receive a fresh fire.
Amen.
And I pray that today we will get a fresh fire.
Amen.
You know, that will come upon the heart afresh.
Amen.
You know, that will burn. You know, but you see, what we're still talking about the nature of the soul. So the question is, what nature is, what is the constitution of your soul? What nature do you have? You know? What nature? Are you strong on the mind? Or are you strong on emotion or desire or will? Or are you strong in every part? are you weak in every part?
I'm strong in the mind. I like to reason things too.
Good. Now, there are people before who ran off somewhere, and you see, when you run off too much, you go into human psychology. Okay? You begin to talk about different things and do this. And Paul, that's why Paul, first Corinthians 2, say, look, you need psychology out of it. You know? So, it's not psychology. This, we are looking about the wisdom of God. Amen.
Amen.
And what is the wisdom of God? The wisdom of God is that this soul that God made, the light hasn't switched off. That's the beginning part of it. The light is switched off. Because David said, behold, I was shaping in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. You understand? So, that means that there is sin and the light is switched off. And God must switch on the light.
Amen.
You understand? And when you look closely at yourself and look at scripture, you see that the natures are not the way God wants it to be. Because when you go to Revelation 4:5 and all through, he tells you what is happening. That these living creatures are the ones opening the seals. The living creatures are the ones blowing the trumpet. The living creatures are the ones active in the temple of God. They're bringing ministry. They're bringing offering. So the priest, the one that brings offering, are the living creatures. You understand? So that means that within you, you have the ability to bring an offering to God. You know, you don't need a priest. You don't need a bishop. You don't need a pastor to do anything for you, because within you is the ability, a God-given ability to reach out to God and hear God. And God has created a mechanism within you that you can hear His voice. You understand? Because the Spirit of God is within. And when God speaks in His Spirit, you hear His voice. You know? So, He says, no man will need to say to his brother, hear or do this, or hear for me. Because within every man is that ability to know God, to see God. Even though Bible said that the God of this world has blinded the minds of those that do not believe. So yes, the mind is blinded, the nature is blinded, but God can open it up. And that is the whole purpose of the experience of the tabernacle. So at the first experience, when the soul comes, the Bible says that the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, what has it said, it has what? Shine in our hearts to give us a light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. And then it says, we all, read the scripture. Oh no, it's 2 Corinthians 4:4-6. That's what I'm quoting. Okay. You know. So when you say you're born again, what it means is that God has opened the eyes, and for the first time you are now seeing God. You are seeing the things of God. You are awake. You are aware that God is present. And the man says that the Lord God was there, and I didn't even know it. You understand? Okay, like here he's saying, okay, he's strong in the mind. Because you know, it's not just in you. I think I'm here. I'm there too. You know, you like to reason everything out. All right. Some people are strong on the emotions. All right. Others are strong in the will. Okay. The will of man is different from the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And if you look at I was sharing a little bit of it in Kobe. If you look at the soul. The way I have seen it, it could be like different for other people, but what I see is a cross. You know, we know God speaks to man, so God wants to relate to you with his word. Okay? But mind is not just mind. It has emotions. It has will. It has the soul. Those are functional. Okay? And in the world, man, it also affects the way we live with one another, because God wants to relate to you from your mind. Or in other words, He speaks to you and He says, do so and so and so. I'm sure you're in this room today because God spoke to you and said, this is where I want you to become to. So you are feeling that. That translates to a law. Well, I'm not even going there today, but it translates to a law, a commandment, and a code. God will not do anything except according to His commandment. The British people will not do anything that is not their constitution. You understand? So everything works according to the written law. What is it that is written? You know, that is how you do it. So at the end of it, everybody must follow a law. The thing is that there is a law written in the heart of man. Everybody has his own law. You have your own way of doing things. And the way I'm talking to you now is because of my own way of doing it. I'm dressing the way I'm dressing today because of my nature, because of the way I do things. Okay? And God must change that law.
Amen.
You understand? And our Christianity, if it's not addressing those fundamentals, then and that's why when you go to the end of the road, you go inside the ark, what do you see there? You see two tables of covenant, and there is a writing on it. You understand? So God says, I will change that writing. Amen. So you will reach the end of the road when the law has been changed.
Amen.
So it says, so God is declaring to you and declaring to me, I will put my law in the e-water. That means I am out to change the law of your life.
Amen.
That's the code by which you operate. That's the handwriting that's been written upon you. I am going to change it. Now Paul said, Paul said, I find a law. He had a revelation. I found a new law. That the things I don't want to do are the things I do. And the ones I want to do, I do not have the power to do it. So he had a revelation. So yes. So that means I love the law of God. If the things I don't want to do are the things that are contrary to God, I don't want to do it. I find myself doing it. They say it is no longer me that does it. Then there is a law that is within me that does that thing. You understand? So if you break it down, that means that there is a functioning of my emotion which is not according to my liking. You understand? I don't like the way my emotion functions. I don't like the way my mind functions. I don't like the things, the way my desire, the way it's going. I don't like it. So David had to say, my soul, wait upon God. Because the soul didn't want to wait upon God. He said, no, come. My soul, sit down, wait upon God. My soul, be thou encouraged in the Lord. You understand? So he found something working in him that was contrary. You know, and brethren, it's so clear in my heart that we have to come home. You know, someone said that the chicken must come home to roost. You understand?
Yeah.
We must come home. And coming home is to realize that there is a law that is within. So yes, born again, the fire has come, but the nature must change. There must be, and you see, and it is this realization that I need to change. That is what you call the holy place experience. That means where the soul is lifted up to God. I say, God, I present my soul to you to do something about it. That is the offering of the holy place. I don't know if you understand. That is the offering of the holy place. Now, it's different from the offering of the altar call. The offering of the altar call is that you are not even offering yourself. In fact, you don't even know who God is. So God brings you to a point, and where you are there, you are still you are still working by your own law. And that is where your own law is like the law of where you are coming from, and the law of Egypt, you know, the law of the world. And that is what brings the need for what you call the labor, the experience of the labor, you know, experience where it says you have to be consecrated, you have to be sanctified. What does consecration mean? I say, my mind, I don't like you the way you're walking. All right, I want the mind of Christ. Now, that means there are two minds: your own mind that has a contrary law working in it, and the mind of God. All right. So, if the mind of Christ is going to upstage my own mind, that means first of all I must submit my mind, and then I must begin to reject my mind. I say, I don't want my mind.
Amen.
And I don't want the mind means the national mind, the tribal mind, and then the family mind. Then there's even another level, your own mind itself.
Mm-hmm.
All right, good. The personal mind, you know, the way you like to do, you like to do your thing, you understand that.
Professional mind.
And Jonathan, of course, yes, there are levels, the invasive and all those minds, the mind of the world, all those things, they're all there, you understand. And now God is saying, my son, give me your heart. He's saying, well, if you want my mind, first of all, you must submit your own. So in other words, that is the offering. I say, Lord, I offer my mind to you. Do something about it.
Yeah.
And what you call lampstand is the experience where, because see, in the lampstand you have a wick. That wick speaks of your spirit, soul, and body. That it is this personality. All right. And the thing had seven lamps of fire. And he says, in his presence, I think he saw seven lamps of fire, which are the seven spirits of God burning in the presence of God. So, Isaiah 11 says that he saw the seven spirits of God. You know, it says he saw a root that grew out of the stem of Jesse, and the spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. And then he talked about the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of knowledge. He talked about the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Okay? And he said he shall be excited. Only that word quick in the knowledge of the Lord means he shall be excited, you know, to submit in the things that relate to the fear of God. You know? So, this spirit need to come into my soul to light it. That's the fire. That you understand. The light is of different degrees. The light in this room is different from the light outside. And as you go towards the equator, the light is even stronger. You understand? So light is progressive. So the light that comes the first time hasn't yet permeated to all the regions of the soul. It just lighted the soul. The soul is on fire. It has the life of God. The spirit is quickened. The life of God is coming. But majority of my soul is still cold, not interested in God, headbound, no energy to rise. You understand? The mind is falling. Now, if the mind falls, it is over. You understand? And that's the thing about the cross. So, you have the way it should be, and all the picture was saying, the way it should be is that the mind should be the dominant part of the soul, and the will is under the mind. The will is submitted to the mind. Okay, that's the way God wants it to be. You know what? God wants it to be ruled by His word. So the nature of my soul is that my mind is lifted up to God to hear what the Lord is opened up, and in so doing, the Spirit of God is able to flow. And as it comes, it brings energy and life to the different parts of the soul. That is the way God measures. Okay, and then the passions, the emotion, and the will, and the desires is the lateral. Is the it's flat out. The emotion and desire will never take you high in the things of God.
Yeah,
will never. The emotions and desire will never. So if I am an emotion dominated person, and I walk by my emotion, I will never rise in the things of God. I will feel good. I will feel excited. And that is the problem with the present, you know. So, and that's why in the music, we have to be careful, because the emotional music makes us excited, but it doesn't leave the soul. You know, it's temporary, it just surface, it doesn't really go deep, you know. And if, and I challenge you, look at the songs. The contemporary songs are very shallow.
Yeah.
They tell you, I worship you, I worship you, I worship you. But you see, it's not offering God anything. It's not offering God anything. It's just, I worship you, I worship you, I worship you. God says that in their mouth, my, you know, with their mouth they praise me, but they have to say. The true offering is the offering of the inward part. You understand? And if you go to Proverbs 7, that's what the devil wants. The same woman says, I have peace offering. The devil doesn't want a leap offering. He wants peace offering. He wants the offering. What's the peace offering? Say that the young man is there until a dart shoots through the liver. It's the offering of the liver, the offering of the emotions and the desire. That's what the devil wants. You understand? So he wants me to give him my emotions, but give God leap service. So I worship you, but my heart is far away from God. Okay, and that's why if you look at this song, this so contemporary song, they're good. But if you look deep in the spirit, you see that they're just a challenge. Compared with the, can you imagine a man that says, take my life and let it be consecrated only for me? Can you compare? Can you compare it to, you understand? Compared to Holy Spirit, good morning. You have given me butter today. You have compared with the man that says, take my life. And he said, when I survey the wondrous cross upon which my Savior died, all that was gained to me, what do? I count but loss. I'm poor content. No, it's not poor content. What God has taken off will never come down. That's what they're teaching you. You understand? The Lord has lifted me up now will not bring me down. And now man says, I pour content on all my pride. You know what I'm saying? My pride will never be brought down. My enemy will not overcome me. You understand? So, we need to look with the eyes of faith. You know? And seeing the difference, you know, it's the difference is so clear, and it's because God is looking for a people that will be an offering, you know. So, brethren, we are being called to move forward, you know. Moses told them, let us go northward, let's go forward, you know, and there's a call to go forward.
Amen.
And what are we going for? We are going forward with our soul. We are offering our soul. We say, God, change my mind. Change my emotion. Change my desire. Now, there's no way God is going to change what you like. There's no way God is going to change what I like. That is, I'm holding on to my emotion. I say, God, change my emotion. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. And that's my problem, because I'm holding it and I'm giving it. I haven't really given. You understand? I'm giving it, I'm still holding it. Alright, so, as he says, release it. You know? Release it. Surrender it. You know? So we can say, I surrender with the mouth. But the heart, what is the heart saying? Is my heart saying, I surrender? Okay, so it's mine. You know? So, the crucified life is where the positions are changed. It's no longer the emotions and the desire ruling. Because, see, that is the thing with the beastly soul. You know? The beastly soul that's going to perdition. And that's what we see in the world today. I want, I want, I want. It's not so, I want, I.
I don't
and
feel like.
You don't feel like Nike, you just do it. You know, the whole thing is I. You understand? Now, and I was thinking about this in civil partnership.
I.
You know? Civil partnership means nobody wants commitment.
Oh, so
it's the flesh. You just, because any time you don't want,
just go.
So who is in his eye is passion, that's ruling. So that changing, of course, the Bible says that that spirit, when it shall come, it shall change times and laws and the seasons. That's what's happening. So that is that last bit. You see it in Daniel chapter 8. That is the same. And it is the spirit that is ruling the whole, and it's going to destroy everything that has called God. You see, it shall stamp it down, destroy it, fierce and aggressive. And brethren, that is the spirit we are dealing with. You know, and so it's changing everything, the way man lives, his dressing, the food he eats, his relationship, his ideologies, and his own emotional. But do you know that even the fellowship, and that's what God was saying to me, see, if we relate emotionally, we will never rise. If we relate emotionally, you know, emotionally it's my interest, you know, that is, it's my feeling, you know, my feeling, the things I desire. You understand? So fellowship is based on my feeling, the things I desire, my comfort, my interest and all that. We are meeting one another's interest. That fellowship is not going to rise. It's going to be, it will go from one crisis to another. It will go from one problem solving to the other.
No, but what is, let me finish.
We'll take the question. You understand? So, now, if you look at it, well, I was going to go to her, but she asked the question. But you see, if you look at it now, okay, for me, thank you. All right, now we are looking at the offering of the soul, because the offering of the soul is where we are now. We are at the, it's, you call it the Day of Atonement. That is, you know, because after Pentecost, there is a feast that calls you to go out of Pentecost. You know, we have heard that trumpet. Many of us, we have come out. But the problem is that we have come out, but we don't know what we should be doing. And because we don't know what, so many people have gone back to where they came from. That is the experience of the end time movement. That people heard a trumpet, come out, come out, come out, come out. It's not changing location. You are in Mashram. You now start going to Donovan Avenue. You understand? That is not come out. You understand? That's what has happened to many people. You know, you are going somewhere now. You change, and but it is the activity of the soul. What are you doing with the soul? That is, are you offering up the soul? Now the thing is, what are you offering? If you look at the natural man, the natural soul is ruled by his interest, passion, and desire. You understand? And his passion, desire is to feed himself, clothe himself, meet his needs, look good, and all. It's all self centered. You understand? And God is saying you have to offer that. Now, if you offer that, what are you going for? You understand? Now, what we are going for is a soul ruled by the mind of God. You understand? Now, the mind of God is the word of God.
Okay.
Now, the word of God, what does the word of God say I should do? It says, be courteous one to another. Show courtesy to one another. That's the word of God. So if I relate with you based on the word of God, I'm going to be courteous to you. I'm going to respect you. I'm going to be sensitive to you. I'm going to do, Bible says, love one another. I'm going to love you. The Bible says, be patient to I'm going to be patient with you. It says, yes. It says, forbear one another. That means, I know Rachel likes to wear yellow, gold colored dress. So I'm going to give her allowance to wear it, even though I may not like this color. You know, but I know this is, everybody must wear blue like me, because I know there are some who don't like blue. They like gold, they like black, and all that. It's in the word. You understand? So if we follow the word of God, we will not only be close to God, we will be close to one another.
Yeah.
You understand? But if we come and we try to work out, okay, this is how we'll be doing, we'll be teaching ourselves, then next Sunday we cook, what would you cook? We cook muffins and bring and share. Then next Sunday you cook pepper soup and share. And you share, it is not going to work. You have tried it before, did it work? It will not work because it's too much, it's horizontal. So fellowship, if it's horizontal, it will not work. And that's what has happened in our relationship. Not just fellowship, even in your own personal relationship with people. If you relate with God emotionally, that relationship will never arise. It's not based on the word of God. Alright? So you can apply it personally. You can apply it even in your personal relationship with people. You can apply it even in your work relation. That Bible says, do it as what? Unto the Lord. So you are working. The work is not being done well. Nobody, you can easily sidestep it. You say, no, I'm not going to sidestep it. Because I am, your conscience does not allow you. You say, no, nobody is seeing me, but I'm going to do it right. You understand? So in any, you carry forward, so at whatever model you put it, you see that the crucified life, that is a mind ruled by the word of God, is the victorious life. You know? So if I am met with a challenge, my first reaction would be to follow what I think about it. Alright? Good. Now, when I begin to offer my soul to God, I mean, when something happens to me, I have to begin to train myself. I have to begin to be conscious and pray and say, God, what do you want me to do? Prayer means I'm realizing that I cannot do it. And I say, God, what do you do? So it's a submission to God. That is the whole attitude of prayer. When you say, let us pray about it, it means, let us submit to the will of God. We go to God. This matter, what are you saying about it? What are you saying about this? What are you? Somebody might out of his mind, okay, I went to school, you think about it, okay. This, yes, you work it out, okay, this is logical, this is not logical, this is logical. You come to a logical, okay, and you might get the answer, and you are doing well, but you are not working by the Spirit.
Yes.
Because you have not asked God. Yeah. And sometimes when you want to ask God, maybe instead of being there is so much noise around you, you may need to take out time to fast.
Yeah.
You understand? So that you can hear. Yeah. So the purpose of that this is to be able to hear what God wants to say to you. You understand? You know, so there's a difference between the carnal Christian is ruled by environment, and that's where me and you have been. We react to things, to situations and all that, you know. But God is calling us to a point where we will not be reacting that way. Even when you want to react yourself, you know the difference. You know, in this situation I was reacting, alright, and to the point where you say, okay, God, what is the scripture? And then you go to God and you start and say, what does the scripture say about this? And when you have seen that which the scripture is saying, you hold it. You say, God, give me the strength to walk in it and to do it. Now, you may not get 100% the first time, but the Bible says the path of the righteous is like the shining light that shines brighter and brighter. You know. So if you have committed yourself in that way, you know that today I am here, tomorrow I'm going to be in a higher dimension. Tomorrow I'm going to be in a higher dimension. So and as you're walking, God is changing the law. The law by which you walk is changing. You are no longer doing your own thing. You're no longer doing it the British way. You're no longer doing it your family way. Rather, you see another law now begin to work.
Amen.
You know, and you see that your nature changes, your environment changes, and you are more and more conforming to the law of the kingdom. You know, so that was the word that was coming to me about the wisdom of the world. So that was the Bible calls the wisdom of the world. That is walking by the mind of the world. And the mind of the world doesn't take God into cognizance at all. You know, it only considers self. And the world is saying, like, what is it that is good for you? You do it. You know, they're not asking you, what does God say about it? You know, so we should be able to differentiate what I am saying, what the world says about it, from what God says. And what the world says most likely will suit me compared to what suits God. You understand? Yes, and you need to counter God. You understand? You know, so I just want to stop. So as a Christian, I don't know if your question was answered. Okay. Okay, praise God. So that was the word that was coming to me about the crucified life. You see, it's someone, what I heard was like a Christ man. That is, the man ruled by the word of God and ruled by the mind of God. You know, it's possible, and we should be aiming to come to that point. So it's not saying that I don't have emotion, I don't have desire, but my emotion is brought under the force and government of Christ. I should be able to say, God, I like this.
Amen.
However, let your word be
yes, yes, sir.
So it's not saying you say, no, you know, you say that I don't have any wisdom, I don't have any feeling at all.
Okay.
And we have seen that it hasn't worked. That's the thing about going to the extreme where you see rules. Okay, people, okay, if you do like this, if you do like this, that means no. It's God does not destroy your individuality in that sense. Yes, I like this, but God, what are you saying? And God walks through you, walks through your individuality to bring forth His glory. You know, so it's like God shines through you, and the glory of God comes forth.
So when I question on our question, I don't really want to say that. When you say, you know, you like something, you like something.
Sit up, you are sitting on
this one. Then you say, God, nevertheless, what you want, you know, and God, and that is submitted to the one that God wants you to do. I don't know how to say. Okay, maybe for now, I want to do this, but I realize that God, okay, let me do the one you want. But I believe there's a time will come that I wouldn't want those things I want. There's only one God wants that I will and I'll grow to the point where my want is completely God. Yes, I yield myself more and more to Him. I realize that I don't even have the
kingdom.
And I think that's what the Bible says about He will give you the desire. When those desires become there's a question again, I don't know. Is it we should be ruled, the mind should be on top. But there are some people that they are ruled by their mind, but it's not the mind of God.
Yeah, man.
You understand?
So that is still wrong, which is what Kay was saying. That he is a mind person, you know, and he has to reason it all out. Yeah. And if he doesn't work with the mind, the reason is, no matter what God is saying, it's like, this is the way it works.
Like a scientist mind, technical mind.
That's what I said, you know. So you look at the constitution.
Yeah.
So people are strong on the mind. You understand? So you have your own mind. So that's why I say, those who are born not of the mind of man. You understand? Or the will of man. You understand? So I should be able to know where my mind is.
Mm-hmm.
I say, well, God, this is my mind now. So Paul said, this is my mind, not the mind of God. And another point, he said, I have the mind of God on this. And that is maturity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you come to a point, you know that in this situation, this is me now. You can say, hey, this is me now. And this is God. You understand? If you're not able to, that means, it says, Bible says, those who are of full age have the ability to separate
between the
burn and the pleasure. Yeah. So that ability to separate is wisdom. That's wisdom and understanding. So we're able to understand and separate the things of God from.
And you see, let me ask something as well. Sometimes we as children of God always want, as grace in God, we always want every good and perfect gift, as the Bible says, comes from God, right? But then some of the gifts, some of the perfect gifts that God has for us might not come in the way we wanted, in the case of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he that was the perfect will of God to die for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then it wasn't a pleasant experience. Mm-hmm. So we sometimes are confronted with the situation, is this the will of God for me? Why should I be going through this?
Mm-hmm.
You know? What is that the will of God? And you are saying, no, but the will of God said this is how it's supposed to be, but why am I going through this like this? So how do you then reconcile it? You know,
the way I see it is that sometimes,
because Jesus knew exactly what he came for.
Yeah, but that's it. The thing is that, and there was that point in the garden where he said, "Not my will, but your will be done." So he could see that there was a conflict between his will and the will of God. And you find that when you are in that situation, whereby you know, I'm not supposed to be going through this, you know. But I'm here. You understand?
Yeah.
You need to find out what brought me here. It's like the Israelites. The Lord said, I'm taking you to a land of milk and honey.
Mm.
But what happened to them in the interim?
You know, they lost
it. As they were saying it on the way, he said, you brought us from a land of milk and honey, and you have not taken us.
Us some brought us to this
no, they haven't called it a land of milk and honey.
Did they?
Okay. They said, you took us out of a land of milk, and you have brought us to this wilderness. You understand? So it looks contrary, you know.
Yeah.
But what did God say at the beginning of your journey? I'm taking you. So whether there is wilderness or not, the mind of God must have been clear on this matter, that this is where God is taking me to.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I'm going through this trial, even Jesus, somebody said about Mary, when God said to Mary, you're going to have a baby, and he shall be the savior of the world, and the intricate issues regarding the matter was not explained. Mm-hmm. All it did unto me, okay. But she had to go through the shame.
Initially, was like, how could this be?
Be her.
So she. Well,
then the shame that she had to go through was not explained.
Yes.
And all the issues, you know, and how
Joseph nearly leaving her.
And all that, you know. So God always gives us the beauty, he will give you the full picture. But then he now begins to take you through the steps.
We should not get full picture.
Well, he might not, but he will say, I'm taking you. No, he might not explain the
word.
He's like, okay, I'm taking you to a land of, that's full picture, I'm taking you to a land of milk and honey.
That's fair.
But you see, how you're going to get there, he's not going to explain it.
The in between.
Yes. So you might be in that in between place. And that's where maybe there's that contradiction.
Yeah, because there's a lot of
I think a lot of times we forget the end point. We all we see is our current position. And that is why this the emphasis is very much always speaking to yourself, speaking the end. This is where I'm going. It doesn't matter what is happening here. That's the difference between the carnal, because that person looks at their circumstances, but God has told you what the end is. So it's looking to that end.
And I also suppose the kind of messages we tend to listen to sometimes, you know, like the message being released in the Christian circle, lying is a deceptive message that you are not giving, that's why I think the principle is right, but just that maybe the way is
the
way.
The principle is offering.
Yeah.
That's what we don't understand. God tells you, give me something.
Mm-hmm.
What are you giving God? you bring $10 or £10 and give God. You give God ten pounds. What is £10? So it's an offering. It's an offering. So you are giving God something. It's your sweat. I'm offering you myself. And actually, it's your mind. You're actually giving.
It's your mind.
You're actually giving because you are saying this £10 can buy so and so for me.
No, but they do. Like, they talk about the.
You understand?
They start with the expectation that if you give God, you open the heavens. What's that in Malachi? And see the reward that will come back. So people give with an expectation that they'll get this reward.
So it's no longer an offering.
Yes. So it becomes a transaction.
You are paying for something.
My mother, if you don't know about my mother, he's a good specialist on that issue.
Who?
Mike Murdoch. Mike Murdoch.
He said
he's received a revelation about giving and receiving, sowing and reaping.
Yes.
So that message is really very strong in the Christian circle. Mm. And lots of people have come to testify it really and truly works.
It works.
People use it to their own advantage.
Exactly.
I remember there was a day I was on God channel.
Mm.
And that was the time they first began this giving thing. And I was like, just give, you know. And I was so moved, and I gave. You know, the next day, because I was working at EasyJet, then I made the biggest sale that I have ever made.
So when your motive is self.
Yes.
It's now like horizontal. It's no longer the losses.
And they change the principle of God and build on their selfish purpose.
Yes,
just like, but I don't need to go to church to do that. Why do you think these rich men give money?
All these charities,
what are you talking about? Is it because they love Jesus?
No.
This is the spiritual thing. As you give, you get. And as you give, your tax is reduced. So,
They first gave of themselves.
Yes.
You understand? They said first of all, gave of themselves, then they like gave of the of the of the of the.
Okay, like in a society like this, people are selfish. Yet at the same time, there's a lot of selfish work going on.
Oh yes.
You understand? This all this thank you that oh no, that child, this is why you see people are ruling our money.